Acts chapter 1. Thank you. The book of Acts. Thank you. I love the excitement. The enthusiasm here is phenomenal. That is such a blessing. I'm so glad that you haven't lost your spirit and the zeal here at Hiles Anderson College. It's really encouraging to be here. I'm thankful to be standing in this pulpit. I do not take it lightly. I'm thankful for your president. I was so glad to hear when our pastor announced Brother Douglas as the president of Hiles Anderson College. What an excellent choice. And so I cut up with him when he was the principal of City Baptist for so long, and I thought that his punishment was over. And when he got to transfer from there and was counseling and just being an associate pastor, but I guess your punishment continues, my brother. And or he says maybe it's your punishments now. He's going to return it. And so I tell you what an excellent man of God, loves the Lord, very knowledgeable. I don't know of anybody that could have filled those shoes who was chosen. And I'm so thankful for Brother Douglas. I'm thankful to our pastor that's standing for the Lord and doing a great work. I saw, I don't think she refers herself this way, but I saw the first lady walk in, Miss Wilkerson, and we're thankful for your love for the Lord and your example that you set at this church and at our college. I'm glad it goes in that order, our church and our college. I'm glad that the tail's not wagging the dog's head, but I'm glad it's in alignment with it's a ministry of our church. Amen. But I'm thankful that we're all in line in that way. Acts chapter 1, if you're there, I would like to just read the first 8 verses with you. Sometimes in our ministry in South Holland, we read them just all in unison together. I may have you do that. It's good to see so many teachers still standing by the stuff, still sticking with it, and even seeing a few add-on teachers that maybe were serving in other areas and now here. And thank God for you and your steadfastness and sticking with it. And I may get myself in trouble, start naming names, but thank God for Brother Pins over here. Standing by it, I remember my first class was Greek, and I've never had a Greek teacher that was passionate about souls, until I got to meet Brother Pins, we were learning Greek, and you know, alpha and all that kind of stuff. That's about all I got, it's alpha and beta, zeta, I don't know, theta and epsilon and all those good things, but somewhere around there, he started choking up, and I was like about to call the paramedics. I thought it was over for this man, you know. But he was trying to get through John 3:16, and he got choked up that God so loved the world. And I was like, wow, I've never got to experience somebody that had the knowledge to teach a language such as Greek and also have a passion for souls like that man did. And I thank the Lord for him, got to minister with him. He had a chapel in our ministry for the Asians, and still has a passion for Asians, and thank God for him. I'm looking around the room. I see a many of you. Miss Jamie Lapina taught us church finances, and so I thank the Lord for her and sticking by the stuff with Brother Lapina and how they've just have not backed down, just standing for the Lord, and just there's so many of you in here, and I don't want to get myself in trouble, but I guess I already have. So Miss Belinda Gayona, I remember her just having is she still setting up everybody around here? She was like the date matcher, you know. And I had to tell her, I'm already married. I'm sorry, Miss. But she was I don't know of anybody that knew the student body like she did and loved you and was willing to set herself to the side and try to think on you. And so we're praying for you. If you're not married yet and in this ministry, and look, how many of you are waiting for marriage? Raise your hand. How many of you are waiting for marriage? 90%, most of you in here. So we don't have the married men, but I do see Brother Larry Slack. I'll talk about you in just a second. But you know what? Your time's going to come. And as a matter of fact, the sermon today is on wait. Wait. And God's going to bring the right person at the right time. It may not be your timing, but it's going to be at the right time. Thank the Lord for Brother Larry Slack right here, pastor of Promise of Hope Baptist Church. Really, one of our only church plants out of South Holland, but it was right in these pews here, and I got to hear you on the radio with Pastor a couple days ago retelling the story, and so what a blessing to see you. Stephen and Elijah and Abby serve in our ministry in South Holland over here. Dan Rivera just started part-time with us in the office, and so thankful. So thankful for that. I'm thankful for you. I'm excited about preaching to you, and if I don't get into the sermon, I'm not going to have hardly much time. But if you're in Acts chapter 1, say amen real loud. Amen. Daniel, if you can, just help me out just a little bit right here. And we're going to just read the first 8 verses. Let's read them out loud together, please. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Keep reading, please. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Could we have a word of prayer? And keep your Bibles open, if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your grace and mercy. I pray, Holy Ghost, that you'd work today in a special way. Thank you for the prayers that's already been mentioned. Thank you that Brother Douglas was attentive to ask you for help, because we do need your help. We need you. We're nothing without you, Lord. You're the vine, we're the branches, and without you, we are nothing. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that there is fruit that remains. I thank you that there is fruit from the tree. And I thank you, God, that you could do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Lord, we need that power. We need your touch. We need your help today. We're looking to you, listening for you. Speak to us, we pray. In the name of Jesus, would you shout out, amen. Amen. Look at verse 4, if you would, again. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. But what? Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. I don't have time to dive into it theologically too deep, although I'd like to just establish a little bit of the context of the Scriptures. As we look into chapter 1, we see, I believe it being Luke, being the penman, but either way, Jesus being the author, speaking through men. The Holy Ghost spoke through men, and so there were different men that God chose to be the penmans, if you will. But whoever is the penman, God is the author. Amen. But I see here that as we just take a peek at the chapter, that Jesus Christ has resurrected. He's bodily resurrected, the victorious resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. I see here that that he made many appearances. It was for 40 days. Jesus, our Lord, was appearing and making appearances unto men, to women, the proof and the validity of Christ being alive is more than enough. God has done his work. If he just said he rose again, it would have been enough just to believe what he said. But he was gracious enough to begin to appear to other disciples, even allowed Thomas at one point to touch him, and said that it's even more blessed to those that believe on him whom they have not seen. For all of us here today, I would say we're standing here and we're assembled together because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have different reasons that's brought us all together, but I believe central and core to the theme. Some of you have great daddies. I mean, wow, I may have went to school with some people that you're related with back in the early 2000s, but you're here, and there may be different reasons you're here. You may have just said, okay, I'll come, and I'll give it a year, or give it 2 years, 4 years, or some of you are in this thing for the long haul. I don't know what all brought you here, but I know central at the core, it's all to the place that Jesus Christ rose again and is alive today. We look at the scriptures that Jesus had told them that I will meet with you. The promise of the Father is going to come. And verse 5 laid out there that John baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. I believe that they were waiting for the promise of the Father. We see in chapter 20 of John that Jesus already met with the disciples on one of his appearances, and he blew on them, and he said, receive the Holy Ghost, and they did. So after the scriptures teach, after the resurrection of Christ, that's when they could have the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. But I believe here we were not waiting for the abiding or the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, but they were waiting for the empowerment that would come when the Holy Ghost would come upon them and they would begin to preach the gospel in mighty ways. There were 120 during this waiting period that were in the upper room, both men and women, praying and waiting for God that was had promised them that of His presence and promised them of His power. They were waiting on God to come, and they were staying true. They were in unity. They were in unison. They were in harmony. They were in one accord, if you will. I don't know how 120 people ever got in a Honda Accord, but the Bible says it, and I believe it. Amen? Peter was preaching and stood up among them and appointing a replacement for the traitor Judas, which was one of the 12. And I just want to make some applications, though, here. I don't think here we're waiting for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Those of us that are saved have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, I believe we got the Holy Ghost. Amen? I believe we got the person, the Holy Ghost. I don't think He's an it. I don't think He's a portion. I think we got the Holy Ghost. He may not have got all of us, but we got all of Him. Amen? And I do believe, though, that I quench the Spirit. I believe that I grieve the Holy Ghost. I do believe many of us are functioning and operating in the local church, born again, have the Spirit of God, but we're not operating in the power and the unction in the way that we could if we were really surrendered to God. I still believe it's true. We've yet to see what God could really do through a man or a woman that was surrendered wholly and completely to God. I believe, though, I'm around friends today that are waiting. That are waiting, and you're looking for God. You're looking for God to show you your purpose. You're looking for God as many of you, I could talk to some of you already, and you're like, God wants me to do this. This is where God's sending me. I know God's plan is this, but yet you're in that waiting stage because you're not yet to that destination, if you will. You haven't arrived to where you believe God's taking you, but you're in that preparation. And I want to just say today that waiting is a process. A wait is the process that God uses to discipline us. And it's the discipline that you get during the waiting that will bring the sustainability to handle the blessings that God gives you. And I'm going to say this in a few different ways. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not trying to put on a show here. But I believe that God wants us to get this thought here, because in this waiting process, He's helping you to be able to handle where you're going. God's got something very special for you, and I just feel His presence right here as I'm sharing this with you. I don't know exactly who I'm talking to, but I do believe there's some waiters in here. There's some waitresses that's waiting on God, trusting in God, waiting for His promises, waiting for His plan, waiting for the destination. And I want to say, during the waiting right now, don't rush this moment, because it is this moment that God is using to help establish you and help you get more concrete in your beliefs and who you are, who God is, and what your calling is. And it's this moment that God is allowing you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, to sustain and to handle. Proverbs 18:16 says, a man's gift maketh room for him and bringeth him before great men. And I think about you and here as how gifted some of you are, and how wonderful it is that God has blessed us with such gifted, God-fearing young people. I don't know of a place that of an assembly in one place in America today that have such gifted young people, young men and young ladies that want to do something for the Lord. And God has gifted you. And I believe because of that gift, many people are going to want you. And there's going to be requests for you to come work for them. And there's going to be for you ladies. I think there's more ladies than men in here. So ladies, be careful here. All right. Wait for the right one. Amen. Wait for the right man. But as you're waiting and trust in the Lord here, there's very much of a giftedness that you have, but that room that you're going to may require more discipline than you have right now. I thank God for unanswered prayers. I thank God for when I was praying and asking God to give me what I desired in my heart. I'm so glad that God's chosen to allow me to gain just a little bit more experience, just a little bit more establishing, because the enemy's ready to try to knock us off. Try to knock us off kilter and knock us off the plan and knock us off our purpose. We need a few more wrinkles, if you will. We need a few more hair loss, if you will. We need some more gray on the team, if you will. We need God to give us the discipline that can handle where we're going and our destiny. I think of Dr. Bob Hooker as I, 10 years ago, was writing a book called The Operation of God. I can't wait. I have a whole outline on my computer, The Operation of God, out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, four times in the Bible. You'll see the word operation referring to the operation of His hands and God. And that word operation is God's energy and God's working, how He's actively operating and working in us. When it says to exceedingly abundantly above all you're able to ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That word worketh is the same Greek word energio that's connected to operation, where God is active operating in our lives. And I was ready to write this book and had the whole outline. And I come to someone I looked up to, someone that was a teacher here at the time and a mentor. I said, Dr. Hooker, I said, what do you think about this book? And he listened and you know, in his own way, he said, you know what, that sounds good. Why don't you give it 10 years? See what you think about it, and then if God's still got it on your heart and you still believe it, then why don't you write it? Well, I'd like to say it's been 10 years. I still believe it, and I'm going to try to write it. Amen? But when you sit on something for a while, it's hard to get off your backside and get up and get the job done. But I want to encourage you today to wait. And wait is not to be lazy. Wait is to is to anticipate and to trust and to love the Lord. Even one place in the scriptures where referring to waiting for the Lord's coming, Jesus said, occupy till I come. That meant to do business, to go trade. And it was a parable there of the pounds there and the talents. But go after it. I mean, we're to work during this waiting. This is not a lazy time of your waiting process. It means go after it with all you got. But just don't make any major crossroad decisions without knowing that God is right there and directing you and guiding you along the way. College is a preparation place. I believe you're right here in the boiler room, if you will, of the preparation for your destiny and the preparation for your purpose in life. I remember coming here, one of the reasons I come to Hiles Anderson College, I said I wanted a detailed preparation to pastor an independent fundamental Baptist church. That was my motto. That's what I came here on. I said, Lord, I want a detailed preparation to pastor an independent fundamental Baptist church. And it's adjusted just a little bit since then. I just really want a detailed preparation to do what God wants me to do. I need God, and I want to have that preparation. I think preparation is a beautiful thing. Luke 12:47 says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. I tell you, a lot of people just sing in joy about that day when they're going to meet the Lord, and I'm excited too, but at the same time, I'm a bit cautious because I know God's got a plan for my life. I know that Paul even said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. The dispensation of the gospel is laid upon me. There was a stewardship. There was a responsibility for what God had put on him, and he was responsible to God to do what God wanted him to do. And I tell you today, we should not take it lightly, the calling that God has got on our lives. We should not take it easy of what God has put into our spirit. We need to trust the Lord and wait on the Lord, and he will help us to get where we need to go. I think preparing is a beautiful thing. For every purpose, there is a time and there's a season. A lot of times we want to rush the season, if you will. We want to get the fruit when it's not that season. But if you'll study just a little bit of agriculture, the fruit's only going to come when it's time to come. I like Montmorency cherry trees, one of my favorite cherry trees, one of my favorite fruits. I've planted some at the last house I lived at, and I want to plant some more where I'm at. But Montmorency cherry trees, and you can plant it, but you know what? It's not going to produce the fruit until it's the season to do so. And you know what? I believe in your spirit, I believe God has ordained a plan for your life. He's got a blueprint, if you will. He's got a purpose. I'm glad it's by grace. Are you saved through faith? Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But those of us that are born again, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has got a plan for us. And God has got a season that fruit will come to pass. He shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It's a powerful combination today, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. It is a powerful combination when preparation meets your opportunities. If you are prepared and you're doing all that you can to be the lady of God that God wants you to be, and when God brings that man of God along the way, it's going to be a beautiful thing when the two of you meet in front of that wedding altar, pure, by the way, and waited and did stay faithful to Jesus Christ and the promises that you made. It'll be a beautiful thing when that preacher says, husband and wife, pronounces them husband and wife. It'll be a beautiful thing when that preparation meets opportunity, when those of you that are studying the Word of God, memorizing Scripture, taking in all that you can, and that you get that phone call one day asking you if you'd consider being a youth pastor, or you'd consider come be an associate preacher, a bus captain, or whatever. But when you've been preparing and that opportunity comes, it's a great thing. When purpose meets destination, God will align your destination. You just need to focus on your walk with Him. Amen? I think I've heard this before. He that walks with God always arrives. Come on, help me out. At his destination. And so the focus should not just be honed in on destination. We need to enjoy the journey of walking with God and allowing Him to get us where we need to go. I found this. I'm 40 years old now. I still don't feel like I ever arrive. I'm just walking with God and trusting Him along the way. Every opportunity that comes is a blessing. This is a blessing right here today. I remember sitting in the pews. I remember shouting it out better than some of you are, amen, while the preacher was preaching. I remember getting excited. I remember dreaming about maybe one day I'd stand up there and preach. And wow, I tell you, usually by the time the opportunity comes, the desires have gone away. Usually by the time you finally get to where you thought you wanted to go, that's really, you're like, Lord, okay, I'll do it because out of obedience. But it's not something I'm just wishing for to get put up in front of somebody. I can't wait to get by myself. That's my temperament. I'm a loner. I like to be by myself. You won't find me gossiping in some gossip train. I'm not trying to find out the next news to put on Facebook. I don't even have a Facebook. I try to keep my face in the book. I'm trying to find out what God wants for me and find out what He would want for my family. And so that which you're craving, that which you're waiting for, just prepare and just be with God and allow God to help you with what He wants to do. I think of the book of Acts, chapter 8. Would you look over chapter 8 real quick? I don't have much more time, so I may just stay in introduction and we'll just see how it goes. Amen. I'll do it quickly. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the what? The word. I want you to focus right here on the word. They were preaching the what of the will of God. They knew, they did not exactly know where God was going to take them because they were being persecuted and they were being tortured, and so they were separated. God was fulfilling prophecy there that He would separate the church and He would take them out. But they were being obedient to Christ, and as they were going, wherever God placed them, they were preaching the word of God. I worry about you missionaries. How many of you are missionaries here? Let me know who I'm talking about. You know God's called you as a missionary. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just had a missions conference. I love missionaries. I feel like I am one. I'm just a few minutes over in South Holland, Illinois. And you say, what are you talking about? Come on over and I'll introduce you to a whole nother culture than what we have here at around First Baptist and Hammond. Wow, what a wonderful thing. But I tell you, it's been a fun. Brother Larry knows what I'm talking about. He's been trying to pastor a church. He's been trying to get one going in Harvey, Illinois, where people think the tithe is the plate, and whatever they put in, it's okay. So I teach everybody tithe. Amen, Pastor. Amen. Everybody tithe now. Amen. So they put $5 in the plate. You know, at the end of the day, you can't pay bills with $20 offerings, you know, and that's what we were dealing with. So you had to teach and had to help understand the terminology differences and so on. And I'm not going to take you all there. The Word of God, they preached it. That's the water of the will. They just knew they'd do what they wanted to do. Here's where I was going. God help you. When you cross over the seas, get over to a new geographical location, you're not winning souls here. You're not preaching the gospel here. You're not doing anything right here. You're not probably going to do it when you get over to another location. But God help you if you're preaching God's word and being obedient to Him and walking with God. Let God take you to another location and keep doing the same thing. And that's what they were doing right here. They were just staying faithful to God. And verse 26, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip and said, arise, go toward the south. Hallelujah. I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost to speak right now. Amen. Go south. Amen. But you know what this was? This was a directional moment to where they were able to just say, okay, Lord, I hear You. You're not telling me exactly all the way my destination, but You are giving me a pivotal point here saying go that way. And I believe we ought to be listening to the Spirit of God directing us. Lord, direct my steps, light up my path, lamp my at my feet, show me the way. I'm trusting You. I'm listening for You. I cannot see all of where through the fog and through the dark, but I'm listening for Your voice, and I'm asking You, God, to direct my path. And this is directional moments, and we need to stay in tune to the Holy Ghost and let God to do that as He pleases in our life. And it still happened in verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Wow, that's a good feeling. When God says, this is the place. This is the person. This is the people. This is whom I have placed you with to give the gospel. Notice, it's still the same thing. The same thing that they were preaching scattered abroad from persecution was the same Jesus and the same gospel that needed preached when God said, go to that chariot. Oh, isn't it going to be good when God said, that's the man for you? Isn't it going to be good when God says, that's the woman for you? Isn't it going to be good when God says, that's the church for you? That's the people for you? But until then, let's stay faithful to what God said to do. God will give us directional moments. God will give us destiny. God will give us a place. And be careful here. I don't understand all of this one here. But even after they were done, verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, hallelujah, that's how you baptize somebody, amen? All the way under and all the way up. The Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. And I believe that's just a renewed plan. Some of you are so stagnant. You're still living in the 1970s and 80s and 90s. I don't know when you was born, but you're so stagnant thinking on what God used to do through you. You need a renewed plan. You need to get back into the boiling room of the furnace of God's prayer house in your closet and ask God to do something that's bigger than you that He can only do in your life. I find that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. That's the working of God. He can take you from the prayer room to flying, my friend. I believe it can happen in 120 in the upper room. They were praying and waiting, but it wasn't it a good sound that day of Pentecost when they were in one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it was the Holy Ghost and the promise of God begin to move upon them, and there's nothing that can stop it. There's nobody that can keep it from coming. When God says He's going to do something, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. It's time to quit in here. Amen. I'm just going to give you some thoughts here. Number one, when it's God's timing is not always when we think it should be. Number one, God's timing is not always when we think it should be. Just remember this. God's always on time. It's just hardly ever our time. Amen. God is always on time. It's just hardly ever our time. Verse 6 of Acts 1, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And they were thinking that Christ was going to, he just ascended, just left Jerusalem, but they thought that he could set up his kingdom, and he could have, but thank God he had another plan. He needed to get the Gentiles saved. Amen. He needed to give us an opportunity for salvation and not establish the kingdom right then. But at this time, sometimes we're so focused while we're waiting. God, what about right now? How about right at this time, Lord? And we try to back God in the corner, but that doesn't work very good, does it? To an omniscient, omnipresent, all-knowing, everywhere, all-powerful God, that's really hard to do. Number two, it's not always for you to know God's timing. Verse 7, if you will, of Acts 1, as they were looking at it, he said unto them, and I'm making applications to us on this thought of waiting. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Could you look at the scriptures there and make application to your life and say, while I'm waiting at this time, Lord? And could God speak back and say, well, it's not for you to know. Is that okay? Is that okay? Sometimes God may say, you know what, while you're waiting, it's just not for you to know right now the times or the seasons. God's got it all in His power. God's got it all in control. God hasn't lost control of anything. God's all powerful. He's in control. He hadn't left the throne. He's still there. He's got it all taken care of for those of us that are waiting. I'm glad that the wait is upon the Lord, and I'm not going to be able to belabor that point. But you can wait on me, and you'll find it gets frustrating. I have a pretty good history of being late. I think when Brother Douglas was not the head president, he was our human resources HR guy at one time, and he had to meet with me, I think, more than one occasion. Danny, you're late again. I know. Let's sign right here, okay, and we'll make a report. It's frustrating. I have a habitual issue, but I'm just waiting until I'm already living in heaven, amen? I'm already seated in heavenly places when time shall be no more, amen? And that's just the way that's the way I'm looking at it. I've been trying to master it for these years. It's not working. But I'm so glad you're not waiting on me. I'm so glad you're not waiting on me. You're waiting upon the Lord. And that's not just in His absence. I'll wait for you, Lord. I know you'll be back. Hey, He's already here. We're already seated in heavenly places. Thank God, Brother Stubblefield, you're still right there, amen. He's just going to keep giving demerits until Jesus comes, amen. He's still going to keep writing us up. That's a good man right there. Thank God he's staying with it, sticking by this stuff. Man, I don't know if anybody is knowledgeable of the books that can help us and know what we need to take and get us in and out. And God is using you right where you're at. He's working with the interns. And thank you for your service, sir. I just felt led of the Lord to say that. But you know what? Let's just trust the Lord while we wait. We could trust God. There's a crown for those that love is appearing. We should look for Jesus Christ. But while we're sitting back waiting for him to come, he's already here. And we're there. I don't mean to get confusing there. I'm just saying God is not absent in your waiting. He's there with you. He's there with you. And you can wait upon the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on that understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. You can trust in the Lord. And lastly, you will know when it is time. And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. You'll know when you have me, he says, and when you don't, you'll know it too. Keep praying. Oh, I get so frustrated. I'm looking at Dr. Howells talked about his altar calls change. He said, I preached the same message, but after I laid on my daddy's grave for 3 days, 3 nights, it seemed like everybody came. Well, my altars are still pretty empty, so I'm still waiting, amen? But I do believe this. If God is the one speaking, I could try to preach loud. I could try to preach with enthusiasm, but I find it does not move you or anybody else. It's really when God starts speaking to the hearts of people and God begins to move and work, we can't change or stop that. And we'll know when he's working. And we'll know when it's him and not us. And I'm just content with that. And I'm waiting. Amen. I love the Lord. And I'm waiting on him. Purpose of the power is not to roll in the altars and foam at the mouth. The purpose of the power is the witness. Be a witness for the Lord. Well, I wish I had time to illustrate and all that. What are you going to do while you wait? Hey, they were in one accord in prayer. Make sure you're praying. What are you going to do while you wait? In closing statements, just pray. Get in an accord with somebody. That means you might need more than just you praying. You might want to join a prayer partner and begin to pray together. Get in the scriptures. I wish I really had time to break down this thought of where they chose Judas, his replacement. I wish I had time. I really don't have time to establish it, so I'm not going to. But they were in the scriptures. But lastly, I want to say just trust God. Amen. Just trust God. And really, they come up with their little plan, and they did. They narrowed it down. They found the scripture to replace the replacement of Judas. They prayed about it. They had the criteria. Hey, you had to be there from the baptism of John all the way and witness his resurrection. And they narrowed it down to two men. And they just said, okay, it must be between Justice and Matthias. And they had it all planned out. And they said, well, we're going to cast lots. We'll do these sticks. The one that gets the shorter one is going to draw it. And it was a biblical Old Testament way. And they found the man. And they said a lot fell upon Matthias. And they chose him. I don't read again of Matthias again throughout the whole book. First time he is mentioned, and the last time I found he mentions, maybe he's in the Greek somewhere I don't know of. But I do find this. I do find Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 says, I was one like born out of due time, and I'm the least of all the apostles, and so on. I do find in chapter 8, Paul was persecuting. In chapter 9, he said he was still being a heathen and still hurting God's people. But God says, you know what? I think God rose up his own plan, and God had his own thing in mind. And so, you know, which of these two, Lord, is it going to be? Which of these two? And some of you are doing the same thing to God. God, which one's going to be? Go ahead and tell me. And God just may say, neither one. I'll show you my plan in my time.
Amen. Amen. Why don't you come forward?